random jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Busy Lime.
Ever since we've lived at the old manse, Evadne's mother, Maureen, has paid us an annual visit. But in recent years, her annual visits have been getting more frequent. Not that I mind, but Evadne doesn't like it, and Maud doesn't like it. And the cats aren't too keen either. And it is unfortunately true that whenever she's with us, something peculiar happens. One year it was petrol rationing. Another, it was adders. But the last time Maureen was with us, we really did have a right old how-do-you-do. I say, Evadne, are you still out in the hall there?
Yes, I am, Hilda.
Why? Come into the drawing room for a minute, dear, wouldn't you?
Very well.
Hilda, I do wish you wouldn't keep interrupting me. I'm in the middle of linseed oiling my walking stick. So you're not going for a walk, are you?
No, I'm not. But as soon as she comes down, I'm sending Mother out for one.
Why is she feeling a bit liverish this morning?
If she isn't, she should be. She has done nothing but eat, drink, and sit about being waited on ever since she arrived here.
Well, I don't want you to think I'm taking her side against you, dear. But that was only last night.
Yes, well, this time I'm starting as I mean to go on. Now, what did you want me for?
Evadne, did you hear the phone ring just now?
Yes, why?
It happened again.
What happened again?
The same thing that happened before. The phone rang, I answered it, there was nobody there. That's the third time this morning.
Oh, it's probably some idiot who keeps dialing the wrong number, that's all.
Evadne, if it was an idiot dialing the wrong number, when I picked up the phone, I'd find an idiot on the other end of the line, wouldn't I? Well, I didn't. I found nobody three times. And anyway, if it was a wrong number, they'd say something. They'd say, sorry, wrong number.
Not necessarily. Not these days. Well, you know how rude people are. They probably realized as soon as they heard your voice that they'd got a wrong number and just put the phone down.
Well, they certainly didn't do that. Because if they had, I'd have heard the dialing tone, wouldn't I? And I didn't. And anyway, I didn't say anything. I just stood there listening.
Sounds as though there was an idiot on both ends of the line.
Oh, I said something the first couple of times. I picked up the phone and it went beep, 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 you know. And when the beeping stopped, I said hello and I gave our number and no one answered. So I said, who's there? And still nobody answered. So I said, well, I certainly haven't got time to stand here all day talking to you. And I put the phone down.
Well, no wonder they didn't say anything. They obviously couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I didn't rattle it off like that, Evadne. I left pauses.
Yeah.
Long, dramatic pauses. I was a thespian, you know.
But this time you didn't say anything at all.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to encourage them.
Hilda, you are not going to stop people dialing wrong numbers simply by refusing to speak to them when they get through.
Those calls were not wrong numbers, Evadne. Believe me, they were funny phone calls.
What do you mean, funny?
You know now. Funny. Funny phone calls. Men make them to women.
But if he didn't say anything, how do you know it was a man?
Well, if it wasn't, it would be even funnier, wouldn't it?
You're quite certain he said nothing at all.
Positive, not a word.
Could you hear heavy breathing or anything?
No, not a sound.
Then they certainly weren't funny phone calls.
Well, they certainly weren't normal ones.
Hilda, if they'd been funny phone calls, whoever was making them would have said something. Or you'd have heard heavy breathing. You'd certainly have heard something.
Perhaps I'm getting even funnier phone calls than most.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Though, quite frankly, it's difficult to imagine what pleasure a caller might be getting from paying 10p a time just to hear you recite the telephone number. And as you have now decided to deny him even that dubious pleasure, that should be the end of it. No, you mark my words, it's a series of wrong numbers, or possibly there's something wrong with the phone.
Well, there doesn't sound very much wrong with that, does there?
At least the bell's working, and I'm answering it this time.
That should see them all.
Hello? Oh. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody there? Oh, dear. Hello? No, nothing. It's quite obviously something wrong with it.
Did you get the peeping sound?
Yes, I did.
And did it suddenly stop?
Yes.
Then there's somebody there, isn't there? In a phone box. I tell you, with that, it's funny phone calls. And now you're getting them as well.
You talk such nonsense. Hooey, girls, mother's down. You can put the coffee on, Maud. Maud's our chopping mother. And we've had our coffee, but if you feel like a walk to the cafe, there's a walking stick in the hall stand.
That's right, Evadne. Make her feel really welcome.
Oh, so you're in here, are you, girls? And what time do you have your 11s nowadays, then?
Well, it's usually at 11, isn't it, Evadne?
Usually, but it was more convenient today to have them at 10:30. And I suppose it was even more convenient not to let me know you were having them.
Evadne, I thought you said your mother didn't drink coffee in the mornings anymore.
Well, it seems that I don't, but it's not for want of trying. Now, if you've no objection to me using one of your cups and saucers, Mona, I'll pop into the kitchen and make myself a cup.
You can't.
Don't tell me you've taken the plug off the percolator.
No, we've no coffee. Not until Maud gets back.
Would you like a cup of tea, dear? What are you shaking your head for, Evadne?
Oh, forget it. I'll wait until lunch, assuming I'm to be offered some lunch.
I tell you what, Maureen, why don't we have a little glass of sherry? And it's no good shaking your head, Evadne, because I saw you hiding a full bottle at the back of the sideboard. So fetch it out here and pour us all a nice pre-prandial drink.
Oh, very well. But I might point out, Hilda, that properly speaking, a pre-prandial drink is one taken before dinner, not before lunch.
Well, it is before dinner, isn't it?
Especially if we're getting no lunch.
Perhaps we're getting no dinner either.
Really, you two are the only people I know who get silly before you've even touched a drop.
It's just as well we do, seeing how long it takes to get a drop.
Here you are.
Thank you, dear. So graciously served. Well, isn't this nice? All together again. Incidentally, Maureen, have you ever had funny phone calls?
Yes. Not again. Well, I've had Mona call me occasionally. Usually the day after my birthday to apologize for having forgotten it. Mind, the only funny thing about her calls is that she always reverses the charges. Perhaps if you didn't live in Mexico, I wouldn't have to. Perhaps if you made a note of my birthday, you could send me a card, which would be cheaper for me and less embarrassing for you.
But have you ever had proper funny phone calls?
Is there any such thing?
Well, you know, when men ring you up and don't say anything.
No, I can't see I've had that.
Mind, Evadne seems to think they should say something.
And she'd know, of course. Mother, the fact is quite simply there appears to be something wrong with the telephone. There is someone in the call box somewhere trying to get through. But obviously there is a fault. Now, whether it's our end or their end, we don't know. Well, you can very soon find out if it's yours, can't you? All you'd do is to give someone a ring and ask them to ring you back.
I tell you what, I'll ring Naomi Mellinger. She's quite sensible.
You know, Mona, I really don't know what you would do without your old mother to help and advise you. Well, whatever I'd do, I'd have half a bottle more of sherry to do it with, wouldn't I? Do help yourself. Why, thank you.
Shh. Naomi's answering. Naomi, it's Hilda Brackett. Now, I'm going to put the phone down. No, dear, you haven't offended me. I just want to know if my phone's working. Yes, I know I'm speaking to you now, but I want to know if you can speak to me. Yes, I know you are, dear. But I mean after I put my phone down. Well, I'll pick it up again, won't I? When you ring... That's right, yes. So if you just ring me back... Thank you so much. Good heavens, that woman is an idiot.
She's going to call you straight back, is she?
Yes, she is, dear.
Well, where is she then?
She's at home. I know that. I mean, why isn't she calling us back? Oh, give her a chance, Evanny. She's got to dial a number, hasn't she?
295. How long's that going to take her?
Well, I don't know. I've never watched her.
Well, it certainly shouldn't take her this long. She has got your number, has she?
Yes, I'm sure she has. Well, pretty sure. Anyway, she's got a phone book, I suppose.
Just how reliable is this woman?
She's got a memory like a sieve, and she's very easily distracted. She's not reliable at all.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I tell you what. I'll walk down to the call box in the village and give you a ring from there. At least you know that I am reliable.
What a good idea. Oh, and Mother.
What?
There's a walking stick on the hall stand.
Well, you needn't think I'm taking that knobbly old thing with me. What do you want me to look like, Harry Lauder? Well, goodbye, Geralds. I'll see you later.
Yes, thank you, Maureen. See you later, dear.
Have a nice walk, Mother.
Don't hurry back. Oh, and by the way, you can buy another bottle of sherry while you're out.
Is that new? You really are too bad. If I'd been your mother, I'd have drowned you long ago. Now, what shall we do while we're waiting? Oh, I know. Let's sing a song.
Very well. What do you want to sing?
Oh, just take whatever's on top of the piano stool, dear. What have you got there?
Oh, some song called Whoop-de-oodle-doo from the Cabaret Girl.
Oh, George Grossmith. Oh, lovely. Now, it's very nice if it's played properly. See what you can do with it.
A bit shameless, wasn't it? Especially the way you sang it.
Ah, that's what's called throwing everything into it, dear. It's what made me a star. I never held anything back. It's probably Maud. Maud, is that you, dear?
Yes, it's me, Dame Elder. I'm back. I hear you've trouble with your phone, Dame Elder.
Ah, oh, so you bumped into the doctor's mother while you were out with you.
Met her in the lane, I did. She'd have cut me dead had I not accidentally shoved me shopping trolley between her legs. That slowed her down a bit.
You didn't hurt her, I hope, Maud.
Why, no, doctor. Mind, I'd willingly have gone to that phone box and rung you myself. Because, you know, I practically lived in that phone box at one time, when I were a girl.
Why? Wouldn't they let you in at home?
Of course they would, Doctor. But we could have more fun in the phone box. Do you know, there was one Saturday night we got 15 of us kids in that phone box. It was the night they had the fire up at the big house.
The fire? Oh, I didn't know they'd ever had a fire in the big house. Did you, Hilda?
Well, only that one bar electric in the lounge.
Oh, well, they didn't have a fire. They only thought they had one. Because we phoned them and told them they had. We was always telling people they had fires. But them at the big house was daft enough to believe us. When called the brigade out, they did. And guess who got blamed? Us kids. We was told that if we was ever seen again near that phone box on the green, we'd not be allowed to take the pig out, Acorn and Commickelmas.
And that was the end of the simple carefree days of childhood, was it, Maud?
No, twern't. We used the phone box in the parlour after that. We've had 17 of us in that one afore now.
At last. Now, I expect that's Mother.
I'll get it.
Hello? Oh. Hello. Hello. Mother. Hello. No, nothing at all. Just the same as before. What did I tell you, Hilda? There is something wrong with that phone. Mother simply can't get through.
It's all right, girls. It's only Mother back.
I say, she's getting around, isn't she? It's half a mile to that phone, Moxie Vadney. So either that wasn't her on the phone, or that isn't her in the hall. Or she's become an extremely gifted and powerful ventriloquist.
Perhaps she got a lift back, Dame Elder.
What on there, a magic carpet?
A broomstick would be more like.
I'm so sorry you've been standing around so long waiting for me to call, Geralt. But when I got to the call box, there was some wretched man in it. As far as I know, he's still there. So, I decided I'd walk up to the box in the parlour. And as I had to pass the door, I thought I might as well drop in and let you know what I was doing.
You say there was a man in the box there? What sort of man?
A very garrulous one, and a very rude one. You should have seen the gesture he made when I hammered on the door.
He didn't have a little ginger moustache and piggy pink eyes, did he?
Well, he had a moustache. I do know that, Hilda. But I don't recall the piggy pink eyes. Mind, he only briefly turned his face my way, just long enough to stick his tongue out at me.
You know who that is, Evadne? Hmm? It's that funny man who's moved into that cottage overlooking the quarry. The one I told you about, who suddenly popped his head over his hedge and stuck his tongue out at me.
Yes, I rather gathered that was because you were being nosy and trying to peer into his front window, Hilda.
Well, I didn't know he was there, did I? There was certainly no need to be quite so rude. And what was he doing behind his hedge?
My Arthur reckons as that man's a snurge. Not only that, he reckons as he stole all his pea sticks off the allotments and all.
Maud, will you kindly stop butting in with your silly stories? Why don't you go to the kitchen and get on with something? Preferably lunch.
Now, just a minute, madam. You're a visitor in this house, and I'll thank you to behave like one.
And you're a servant in it, and I'll thank you to know your place.
Oh, Dad, you happen to know where my earplugs are.
Now, don't you start me badly. Maureen, Maud, we really must try and be nicer to each other. After all, we've all got to live together, haven't we?
No, we haven't. She could go home.
If anyone's to go home, it should be you. You've not so far to go.
Well, at least I'm useful when I'm here.
And that's a matter of opinion.
Well, I mustn't say, Mother. You and Maud really do amaze me. There is poor Hilda worried sick and deeply upset by these funny phone calls she's been receiving. And there you two stand. There you stand, squabbling like fishwives on a quay and doing nothing whatever to help. I don't understand you. I really do not.
Evadne, are you all right, dear?
Is that fine? Why do you ask?
Well, because the last time you stood up for me, you were sickening for Hong Kong flu.
I'm sorry, Hilda. I had no idea that these calls were upsetting you so.
Oh, here we go again.
Now, calm down, everyone. Calm down. I'll get it. Hello? Hello? Who's there? Oh. I know there's someone there, and whoever you are, will you please stop pestering us? We are sick and tired of your silly pranks. Well, you can stop that for us, heart.
What was it, Evadne?
That was heavy breathing.
There you are. There you are. See, what did I tell you? We are getting funny phone calls. Well, I am, but you keep taking them for me.
And that was definitely from one of the call boxes in the village. I could hear the church clock chiming in the background. It's the first time it's been right this year.
You're quite the little Sherlock Holmes, aren't you, Mona?
Well, she knew the Baskervilles before they had the hound.
I had an uncle who was a detective. He used to let me hold his bloodhound while he were in the pub.
I never expected to hear myself say this, Maud, but I think you can be a help to us. And you too, Mother.
Are you sure you feel all right, Evadne? You sound to me as if you might be running a bit of a temperature here.
Hilda, we need to mount a watch on these two call boxes, so I suggest that Mother takes one and Maud the other.
I'm game.
And me.
Good, good. Now, what you've got to do is, Susie, take a pencil and paper with you, and you make a note of everyone who uses those boxes and the precise times at which calls are made. Then, at the end of the day, you see, we will compare your list of calls made with our list of calls received, and that way we should be able at least to point a finger.
Right then, I'm off. I'll take the box of the green. It's bound to turn out to be the man with the piggy pink eyes. And when it does, I'll be only too happy to return his rude gesture with snobs on. Come along, Maud. We've no time for silly sherry.
I'm coming. I'm just waiting for you. I say, Dame Elder, we do see life, don't we?
Certainly do, Maud. Well, goodbye, dears. We'll see you later. You know, Evadne, those two really do have hearts of gold. It's a shame they give one such a headache.
Just look at them, Hilda, scuttling off down the drive. What a pair. Miss Marple and the Pink Panther.
Oh, good heavens, Evadne, and they haven't got to the phone boxes yet. Well, I wonder if I can keep them on the line for a while. Perhaps my Tokyo Rose routine still works. Hello.
This is Hilda Brackett. I've been expecting you to call. And I think I know who you are.
Oh, are you? Was it? Is it? Then you? What do you mean, playing the goat?
Thank you.
Good night.
That was the operator, Evadne.
Oh, was it?
Apparently there's been a fault on our line.
Oh.
Several people have reported it. And it's now been put right.
Oh.
She says she phoned before. Just now.
Oh, yes, she did.
Well, if that was your idea of a joke, Evadne, I must say it was in pretty poor taste. Now, I suppose I'm going to have to get the car out and run round to the telephone boxes.
What for?
Well, to tell Maud and Maureen that the panic's over and to bring them back, of course.
You really think you should?
Evadne, have you played a dirty trick?
No, I didn't know about dirty, Hilda. Just a little underhanded, perhaps. But I thought that while they were out enjoying themselves sleuthing, we might make ourselves a nice light luncheon and then have a quiet afternoon out in the garden.
I must say that does sound rather attractive, Evadne.
Well, come on, then.
Just a minute, dear. There's one thing I'd better do first.
What then?
Take the phone off the hook.
That was Busy Line, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frow. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Thanks also to this week's guest, Sheila Keith, and to the members of the Stacton Tressel Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by Bobby J.